Hey there, welcome to lie number 38. Today we're tackling the lie that friendship should be easy, and we have a special guest, Danielle Jackson. You're listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a number one bestselling author, wife, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Every week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. I really love this conversation, and I think it's one that we don't talk about enough. I think friends can feel easily, I'm going to go there, maybe disposable, because we have so many other things and priorities that we tend to forget just how important friendships are. I love something that Danielle actually talks about in this interview, and she talks about how if we could just normalize conflict, friendships would be so much better. Instead of just dismissing or ghosting somebody, how we can begin to have real and honest conversations with our friends when we're hurt or things aren't going right, instead of harboring everything. I love that she's a friendship coach. She's also a PR specialist, and she does so many things to help women have better friendships. Another thing that she says in this interview is it that you need more friends or do you need better friendships? I love this lie again because it's one, we've never talked about friendship on the show yet. And is there really anybody talking about friendships of how we should be, you know, interacting with each other and how important it is and the things that we should be doing to cultivate honest and real friendships? You're in for a treat today. Let's go ahead and get to the interview. Danielle, I am so glad that you're here with us today. I'm really excited about this because we already recorded 15 minutes. But that wasn't recorded. So fellow podcast listeners out there, it happens. Little mistakes happen. And guess what? You just keep going, right? Like one step in front of the other. And we sat here and was talking for almost 20 minutes and it wasn't recorded. So now you get to hear Danielle really this time. Danielle, you are an amazing friendship coach, PR specialist, helping women just get seen, get noticed. And when you and I were talking about friendship coach and being on the podcast, I was like, that is so cool and fun and I love it. Let's talk about it. And I would love for people just to know, what is a friendship coach? And tell us about a time where you decided like, this is it. Like, I need to pursue this.
Yeah. So friendship coaching is an odd thing because when I tell people that at parties, they're like, oh, that's cute. And no one's like, okay, girl, now what does that mean? What do you do? And so hopefully we're at the space where we realize now in 2020 that there's pretty much a coach for any need that you might have. So this was certainly not something I was writing on my vision board when I was in high school. Yeah. I didn't know that it was a thing, but I was actually a high school teacher for 6 years. And then I realized that a lot of the, you know, teenage girls I was working with always had issues. They always had drama. And I just dismissed it as, oh, that's like a teen girl thing. And then I got into public relations and I noticed that when I was one-on-one with these female entrepreneurs, that they would confide in me some issues with their friends, which sometimes at that level tended to be that they were so ambitious and work focused that they didn't have any friends at all at 30, 40, 50 years old. And so that's when I realized, oh, this is a theme. This is an ongoing issue, is creating and maintaining and navigating female friendship. And so that's when I kind of really got curious and did all the research and got certified and all those things and realized, well, maybe I can help serve women in that way. And so far it's been a pleasure to serve in that way because there's such a great need. I saw that when you go to Amazon and you look up books, there are so many books for, you know, how to improve your marriage and how to be a boss woman, you know, in the boardroom, and how to be a better mother, and God's calling in our lives as mothers. And there's so many spiritual resources and contemporary resources. But when it comes to how do I deal with my girlfriends, there's nothing. And so nobody really taught us what to do, what the expectations should be. I think that's a cause for a lot of issues, is we're not on the same page about what friendship even really is. Yeah. It's been an honor to serve in that way. And I'm learning a lot by talking to different women and operating in the role as a friendship coach.
That's good. I love that. And how about something I also love is kind of the circles of friendship. I look at it as circles, kind of like how Jesus, you know, he had the Father, and then he had another circle, you know, James, Peter, and John. Oh, is it James, Peter, and John? No, I'm not drawing a blank, but like it was another circle. And then the outside was his 12 disciples. And then another circle was the people that he served. And so do you look at friendship that way too, of where there's kind of the circles that go out, or how much people should get of you per se, I guess?
Oh my gosh. So I love that you just said that. There's actually a theory. It's called Dunbar's numbers. And the argument, or the theory, I guess, is that we can only mentally maintain 150 connections. So that's like your friend's cousin, you know, your coworker's husband that you met that one time. So 150 mental connections. Now, social media would have us to think otherwise, that, oh, I have 24,000 followers. So, no, that your brain can keep up with 150 people. But then those circles get smaller within that circle from there. And so when you get down to the smallest circle inside of that 150, five people that we can really maintain, nurture, keep up with, pour into, maintain relationship with, five. And get this, the argument is that if you have a husband, that actually goes down to three, that having a romantic partner takes up the weight of two. And those of us who had, you know, or who are married are probably like, oh, preach, because where did my friends go when I got married, right?
I actually only have room for one friend.
Oh my God. There you go. And so it really shows us that, like, if I really want to pour into my friendships and nurture them, that about three to five. And the reason I emphasize that so much is because a lot of us, we do get to comparing, and we see girls with squad goals, and we want that squad. You know, we want our 12 disciples, you know, and it's like, even Jesus had to, like, who are those people who you know, you really trust, or who you pour into, because you really can only give so much. So I hope even offering that helps women who feel like, oh, I need more friends. Well, do you need more friends, or do you need better friendships? Because those are two completely different things. Mm-hmm. So I think even kind of setting that expectation might help some of us to breathe a collective sigh of relief of, oh, okay, this is normal.
No, that's good. I think that I was a girl that saw some people just have so many best friends, and I had always just wanted a best friend, right? Like, because you see, like you just said, these girls that just had five or six people that they always hung out with. And I was always kind of the girl that had two, you know, even now it's like very small, two to three maybe. And I think that should be encouraging, because people that have like one or two friends, they often kind of, maybe you can touch on this, they start to feel as though they're not good enough. I don't know if you ever deal with that, or oh, you know, I'm only friends with one or two people. That must mean something about me. Do you ever experience that?
100%. And girls comparing a couple different things. We tend to compare each other in our number of friends. We tend to compare against each other's longevity in friendships. So when you have those women who are like, oh my God, we've been friends for 20 years. And I think that's beautiful. That's very special. But that doesn't mean anything less if you've only had your longest friend for 2 years. You know, perhaps you've grown and evolved in such a way where you can't possibly still be friends with all the women who knew 18-year-old you, because God forbid if they knew 18-year-old you. You know, so there are some things that happen in our lives to put us in touch with the people who we need to be in touch with. But it's the depth of that friendship, because I've seen women who, you know, tout having 20-year friendships and talk to me about how they still can't bring up this one topic with their friend. And it's like, really? Because you've been friends 20 years. So we just can't compare. And again, whenever we tend to put things in a romantic context, we almost understand it. But in a friendship concept, like, oh, you know that you can't compare your marriage to somebody else, because you have no idea what's going on or what they went through. The same thing for friendship applies. It's possible to meet a friend 6 months ago and you feel so close to that woman because of what you've shared and things like that. So those are the two comparisons I get the most, the number of friends and like the longevity of their friendships. But we just can't do that, because we'll set ourselves up for disappointment.
No, yeah, I think that's true. I really want to set people free of even just the shame, or something's wrong with me for not having so many friends. And I guess there's the other side too of, well, are you the friend that nobody wants to be friends with? Can we go there? Can we talk about that?
We can talk about that. Okay, so this is what's tough for me, is sometimes in my coaching sessions, I rarely say it to the woman, but sometimes I'll notice just in our conversation, why she might be having such issues based on personality traits or bad habits that I'm seeing just in the conversation. So sometimes it's hard for me to share what you didn't ask for, because especially in coaching, it's like, what do you want to talk about? What are we exploring? But sometimes things like maybe you're super dominating in a conversation and you don't let other people talk about themselves. It's always about you. Or maybe you're a poor listener, or maybe a lot of the things you tend to say go to, you know, negative and people don't want to be around that. So sometimes it's about that self-awareness. To see, like, you know, is it a you thing? And it might be a you thing. But the good news there that you can rejoice in is that once you are aware, you can change some things. Nothing's permanent. So just asking, you know, honestly asking the Lord, reveal to me some things that I don't even see about myself. What are my bad habits? Am I, you know, kind of negative? Am I a chronic complainer, which people do not like to be around? Do I talk too much and never give my friends a chance to talk about themselves? But some of us have those habits that have never been exposed to us because nobody wants to be rude and let us know. And the way that it's being communicated to us is that they don't want to spend time together. But sometimes it's just having that thick skin and calling that out in ourselves and working on it, because we can break free of whatever those, you know, chains and bad habits are. There was a study done at MIT and it found that only half of our friendships are mutual. So if I'm, you know, talking about my 10 girlfriends I have, only 5 of them probably like me back in the same way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I hesitate in even sharing that because I don't want the theme from that or the takeaway for women to be this paranoia of like, oh my gosh, only 5 of my friends like me back. Which one is it? You know, who's my Judas? And it's like, no, no, it's not like that. But little things like, you know, oh, so-and-so, you know, she never really calls me back. Or she never, now it could be all the things, life got busy, or maybe she's a mom, or she works erratic hours. All those things are valid possibilities. But it could be that she's a really good friend for you. And for her, she's married, she has other friends, and other things she's set at the top of her priority list. That doesn't make you a less of a woman, less valuable, less anything. But it's not possible for us to all go around and equally like each other all the same, and pour into each other all the same. But that's okay. So if anything, see that as a relief, as now it points you to pour more into the people who it is mutual for them.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's good. I actually was thinking, the reason why I said that too is because I, looking back, I mean, I was such a victim even, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, and I was a chronic complainer, I think. And I didn't notice. It was like everything was negative. Why is this happening to me? Just all those things. And there was definitely some friendships, Barry, that was interesting. And I have to say this, is that when people put people on social media with such pedestal, I think no matter how many followers you have, and I was hanging out with one that had quote unquote looked up to me, and I didn't live up to her expectation of what she thought I was. And she was calling me like a false person and untrue. I'm like, we all have bad days. We're all, you know, and I had this, and it was like, I was really hurt, you know, because I felt like I couldn't live up to somebody else's expectation of me. And I just wanted to address that, because sometimes it is hard to look at yourself and go, oh my gosh, am I a chronic? Do I complain a lot? Do I need to go repent of complaint? Do I need to actually just go apologize to the friend that I keep complaining to? Because that might just release the whole tension of the friendship, you know, right there. Something that you had said before is how you had shared friendships would be so much better probably if we normalized conflict. What does that mean, and how do we even do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I point to a lot of different things there. I don't know if it's because of things that we see on TV. I don't know if it's because of the way we were conditioned culturally as we grew up, but there's this idea that, oh, they're girls, go run off and play. They're just going to go run their mouths and get along because they're girls. And we are known for being very, like we fellowship a lot and we commune and we talk and we're very communal. And so by nature, people just assume, well, sure, don't you have a bunch of girlfriends you chat with? You know, so I think that expectation that friendship should come easily sets us up so that we don't know what to do when it gets hard. It makes us think like, well, am I failing here? Because friendship shouldn't be so difficult. So if it is, I'm not doing it right, or I'm a bad friend, or this is a bad friendship. And I think it sets us up to have some really out of touch expectations. So if we expect to have long sustaining friendships, then we have to accept that conflict comes with that. If somebody told you, oh, I want to get married, but you know, I don't want to have any conflict or that's a sign that we weren't meant to be, we would be like, girl, okay, we have all the right responses to say to her in that realm. Well, same thing of female friendship. But unfortunately, I think because we expect it to be easy, we now are dealing with other issues. We're dealing with issues of cutoff culture, which I, to some extent, understand cutting off, like, for, you know, toxicity and women are toxic and things like that. But we're cutting people off without explaining why. We're ghosting each other. We're not answering the phone. We're suppressing that one issue we want to tell her, but we don't want to look like we're being rude. Like, there's so many things that are up under that because we don't want to deal with conflict. And it's just really breeding a whole new host of issues. So we have to understand that there are going to be things we have to sometimes talk about. But I, the reason I lean so heavily into female friendship specifically is because there are things that uniquely touch us. And as women, sometimes we don't want to be seen as drama. We don't want to make a big deal. And because of all those things, confrontation makes us anxious. Or we've been conditioned that, you know, be polite. You know, be polite. Don't be rude. Don't stir things up. Go along to get along. You know, female friendship means being supportive. I got you, girl. So if I bring up something she said that made me uncomfortable, am I being disloyal? Or, you know, so yeah, we're grappling.
Will she still be friends with me? I think that would probably be a big one, right?
Oh, yeah. And so sometimes, you know, when it comes to normalizing conflict, it starts with, well, talking about it. So how you choose to resolve it is one thing, but you can't even get there unless you're going to call it by name. So I know for a lot of us, it gives us like the heebie-jeebies, like, oh my God, I don't want to make this a whole thing. But I always say, you know, at the risk of oversimplifying it, to lead with vulnerability. And we keep hearing that word, okay, and I'm always like, yes, Brene Brown doesn't have a monopoly on the word vulnerability. But the easiest way I can put that in a tangible term is, first, think about that friend who you really would love to finally say that thing to or address that thing with. What is the reason you're not saying that thing to her? Whatever that is should be the first thing you say to her to start the conversation. So, for example, let's say there's a girlfriend who's always making certain comments and it makes me feel really uncomfortable. Well, why don't I want to address it? My reasons are probably like what you said. You don't want her to stop being friends or spend less time with you. Or if you guys are in a group of friends, you don't want her to go and make it a big deal with the rest of the group that you confronted her. You don't want to lose her friendship. So why not say that? Why not say, hey, Christy, so listen, I want to talk to you about this thing that keeps happening, but I'm going back and forth in my mind because the last thing I want is for you to get all weird and then we're not talking to each other anymore because you are like the funniest woman I know. And the last thing I want is to not have you in my life. But then I realized, okay, we have to talk about this because I want you in my life, but I want us to have everything out on the table. Just starting with that lets her know where you're coming from. So I'm less likely to put up those barriers of defensiveness because you reminded me we're on the same page. I love you. Don't do that thing where you ghost me. People are less likely to do the thing if you call it out. Or, hey, I wanted to talk to you about this, but then I was like, okay, I don't want her to go and tell all the other ladies and now it's a big deal. I don't want that to happen. But I thought, I got to bring this to you because I don't want to be harboring it up inside. It just brings down this wall and it's almost counterintuitive because we're taught to hide and figure out the words to get around the thing. Why not lead with the thing? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of a way to kind of lean into it, to talk about it, and sometimes to come out even better than before. And I think if we realize that that's an option, that you say the thing and then you're even closer after saying the thing, is the way to go. And I understand that it's difficult, but the alternative is what? You say nothing, you have resentment, or you're that girl who's complaining about her to all your other friends, and now we've all got to hear about it because you won't just tell her the thing. So now we're avoiding you because you're always complaining about your friend. You know, so there's, it's going to manifest itself somehow. So you might as well just tell the girl the thing.
Yeah, no, that's, I like that. And I was thinking kind of the myriad of different friendships where it's the unhealthy person that wants the healthy person friend, and they won't confront what somebody says. Or then there's one, now something that I was thinking about, do you think that if we hide so many things from our friends, it becomes kind of a false friendship? Because you're not really talking about anything, but you are talking about stuff. You know, you're not talking about the serious things, but you're really talking about superficial things. Do you think that's kind of like a false friendship that you're just afraid to part with? Almost like a really bad relationship. You know that you would probably be healthier breaking up with that boy or man or whatever, but you're there because, well, sometimes we have fun. You know, like, he's nice sometimes. Can you kind of maybe talk about that? Is that something that you encounter as well? And how does somebody maybe begin to I don't want to say let go, but process to let go so that they don't ghost them? Or when is it proper to maybe kind of start to slowly return those text messages or things like that?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I think it goes back to what we talked about earlier about your definition of friendship, because we're all walking around here with different ideas. So if my expectation of my friend is to do these things and you're not doing them, I'm walking around thinking you're a bad friend. But to you, you're like, what is she talking about? Like, we text every day. And I'm like, yeah, but the things you're texting me are not like good enough. Or yeah, but I really want to call you and actually have a conversation, but you refuse. Or, you know, so we have different ideas of what showing up for each other looks like. And then we're getting disappointed in each other and having all these unspoken conversations that are just counterproductive and maintaining narratives that aren't even true. So when it comes to like our telling a person everything, that's one person's idea of friendship. So my measure of how close we are is I can say everything to you. But to you, it might be with the three things that you can talk to me about, we really go deep and we share those three things. You know, as long as we've got that one thing we can really talk about. Or you might have somebody who the only thing they can give right now in their life emotionally or mentally is to, you know, they're just kind of looking for somebody to talk surface things with. Because of whatever they have going on seasonally, or maybe I'm a new mom and I can't do all that. I just need somebody to take me away. I just need you to be something that I can turn off mom brain and talk about something dumb. And that's all I want to do. And I love belly laughing with you. And that's all I need from you right now. And that's okay. Sometimes it pays to get clear on what the person needs so you're not disappointed, so you're not walking around a little frustrated because she's not returning what you would like her to return. You know, so sometimes having those conversations, and I think, again, having that feeling that friendship should be easy, well, whenever our expectations aren't meeting up, then we'll cut her off and be like, well, she's not giving me what I need. So next. Because I don't want to explore what our expectations are of this relationship. And it feels so formal and I don't want to have to do that. It should be easier. And I think a lot of us are ending some friendships prematurely. Now, does there come a time when sometimes you do need to end a friendship and it's run its course? Sure. If it's something where you guys kind of haven't really been talking that much, well, does that really call for a formal conversation, or is it kind of like a read the room? We haven't been talking, so there's no need to talk about it. But if it's a, we haven't been talking, but I would like to, then you need to communicate that, especially if it's a friendship worth salvaging. And there I always say that you should have more question marks in your conversation than periods, because sometimes we'll come ready to talk about all the things, but that kind of implies that I have my mind made up of what's going on here, and I'm going to tell you what's wrong with what's going on here, instead of having a spirit of curiosity, like, girl, I haven't heard from you. Is everything, what's going on with you? Is work okay? Has work been demanding more of your time? Or, you know, do you kind of just feel like in a funk? What's going on? Because I miss hearing your voice. That's a completely different tone than like, I don't know, I just feel like I need to talk to you more and I'm not hearing from you the way I'd like to. And I don't know what's going on that makes me feel like I'm not being listened to. You know, so it comes with all these accusations because I'm not asking her questions so I can understand where she's coming from. Now, sometimes you might get your answer. She's saying things that aren't really like, I don't, quote unquote, good enough for answers you're looking for. Well, maybe that tells you your answer. If it's just like, yeah, you know, I don't know, I've been busy. Oh, okay. She's not prioritizing the friendship the way I like, you know? So when are you required to have a formal conversation? When can you just read the room? If you miss her, say so. Girl, I miss talking to you. What's going on? I miss hearing from you, you know? And then am I offering her different ways with which she can talk to me? So to your point earlier, is she a texter? Or does she like to get on the phone? Is it really important to her to see each other? So we need to FaceTime, you know? So what works for her, and can I meet her there? Especially during times like these, when we can't go out and have a really social backdrop to our conversation. You know, a lot of us are kind of redefining friendship during this time. And I've seen memes that are like, oh, this is really showing me who cares. And it's like, or it's like a really major crisis and we don't know what to do or how to respond. I don't know if people are struggling with food insecurity and they're trying to figure out how to keep food in the fridge. You know, I don't know what they're going through during this time. If they're worried about losing their job and really extending grace right now, but we've got to talk about it. If you do decide, so you did steps 1 through 3 and you had the conversation and you decided like, I cannot be friends with this woman. That's okay. Research tells us that we replace half of our friends every 7 years. So I often say, okay, so it's 2020 at the time of this recording. You know, I like to do the exercise of like, okay, let's go back to where were you in 2013? And who are your top 4 girlfriends in 2013? You probably only talked to 2 of them. if that. So I offer that for the woman who feels like she needs to cut off a friend but doesn't want to lose friends. I offer that as some reassurance as it's okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's okay that she came in for a season. Man, we had a good time. You grieve it like you would anything else. That's another thing, is it's like we're not allowed to be sad. But you're allowed to be sad about missing your girlfriend. You had some good times. But maybe you realize it's doing more harm than good to maintain this, or she's really draining, or whatever it is. But after you've had those conversations and realize it's time to say goodbye, to look on it favorably. We had some good times, but yeah, it is what it is.
No, I think this conversation was just really impactful in the time. And maybe people think friendship should be easy because it's like that area where we have fun, quote unquote, I guess. You know, marriage, so strong and serious all the time, you know, make sure you have a strong marriage and health and fitness. If I don't take care of these things, then I'm going to get sick and die, you know, just being really out there. But, you know, and then friendships, well, it's supposed to be like light and it's supposed to be easy. And I think maybe that's where we get this lie that it's maybe, I don't know, it sounds so bad, but maybe we think it's like more disposable because, oh, well, they're kind of, like you said earlier, like, well, friendships can be a little bit more lower for some people depending on the season. And we just go, oh, we want to like kind of just throw it out the window. Like, oh, it doesn't matter. And we forget that, like, oh, that's a person that I've been friends with. And I'm just like, you know, and it's just like any other relationship. So Danielle, thank you just so much for sharing your heart and this topic. And I think it's so needed. I was just thinking, I'm like, we really need a friendship book of like friendship love language, because it's the same thing. Like with my bestie, like I was saying, is she's not a texter. She doesn't have any work on her phone. I work all the time on my phone. I'm a texter. I'm like, how are you feeling? How are you doing? And I'm like more of like an in-depth, but she also has two kids and a husband. My husband and I don't have any kids. So I always have to remind myself, like, grace, because we're in like two totally different seasons. And what I want from her, like, not want, but you know, like, kind of like you said, the expectations, I've had to learn and shift so much. And I often talk to her because it's like, well, her expectation as well, you know. And so the willingness to constantly just like, and sometimes I shoot it to her straight, I'm like, listen, stop it, you know, like, I'm just like, just stop, you're being not, stop, you know. But Danielle, where can we find more of you? Where can people really learn about your coaching and your PR and all that you do?
Yeah, so I'm at giveitarestmovement.com. So we named the whole friendship movement Give It a Rest because our whole mission is to help put to rest the misconceptions about female friendship, the stereotypes that we're catty and we've always got ulterior motives and women, you know, so all those things. Female friendship is such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so Give It a Rest to all that. So Give It a Rest movement. And then I also have a podcast called the Give It a Rest podcast. So it's just about helping women see the beauty of female friendship and how rich it can be. I always jokingly, just for the woman who still doesn't buy in yet, I always like to end with, you know, research tells us that our female friendships have more of an impact on our happiness than marriage. Now, you love on your man, you love on your man, you pour into your marriage. But I just like saying that because a lot of times women are like, I want to find my Mr. Right, and then everything will be great. And it's like, sometimes you need to find your Mrs. Rights, your girls. Female friendship is that impactful for our social health, our emotional health. So we really need each other. And that's the whole mission of Give It a Rest. So that's what we're about. And that's where women can find us if they're looking for more support in that area.
Awesome. And I'll make sure everything is linked below for all the listeners to follow you and get to know you more. So thank you again, Danielle.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a good time.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of What's the Truth. I have a few questions before you go. Are you a woman, whether single or married, who wants a godly relationship with effective communication and deeper connection? Do you struggle with finding a godly man? Are you trying to stay pure in a world that shames it? If you said yes to any of those questions, then my book, A Worthy Wife, is for you. A Worthy Wife walks you through practical steps to have a healthy relationship where God is your focus, provider, redeemer, and main point of connection. You'll learn in A Worthy Wife how to have and establish healthy boundaries, how to effectively communicate, what questions you and your partner should be asking each other, and so much more. No matter what your marital status is, your heart should always be taken by God first. So head to aworthywifebook.com or click on the link below in the show notes to go grab your copy today.